Aren't you glad Trump won? Look, you're either going to get mad, and I'm going to keep saying until you get mad or get right. It's either one of the two is going to happen. Amen. Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13. And I don't like him, to be honest with you. I'm just glad he won. That's all. Deuteronomy 13. And we're going to read one verse together, verse number 3. Deuteronomy 13, verse number 3. This is the fourth part in the series we've been coming the last 4 weeks, the fourth part in the series of the love of God. And so this is part 4, and next week's going to be part 5, and we'll see how many weeks we go, but we can never exhaust the topic of the love of God, never, never. Deuteronomy 13, chapter 13, verse number 3, we're reading from the King James Bible. If you have that, let's all stand together and read from the Word of God, shall we? Verse number 3 together. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether ye love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. I'm going to talk to you this morning about false prophets. False prophets and how you deal with them will reveal whether you love God or not. It will reveal whether you love God or not. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for loving us, for being a wonderful God. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for the King James Bible, dear God. And Lord, I just thank you, dear God, that you've opened our eyes to the truth. I thank you, dear God, that you preserved your Word. No man could do it. Only you, God alone, could preserve thy Word for all these generations, like you promised in your Word for us today in 2016. Dear God, I pray that you bless this sermon. Help it to be a help, please, to these dear folks. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I'm not going to recount the last 3 weeks of the series, but I think we started off in Ecclesiastes the first Sunday was, no man knoweth love or hatred outside the Word of God. You think you love God or people, but unless you know what God says in the Word of God, we don't know what love is. You think love is an emotion, and it's not. You think love is a feeling, and it's not. Love is a duty to obey God and to love God first. That's the first commandment. Love God with all your heart, all your might, all your strength, all your mind. That's the first commandment. And then the second, Jesus said, is love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he said all the other commandments hang on those two. So we try doing all the other ones sometimes without loving God supremely and without loving our neighbor. Now, loving God is the number one thing, the Bible says. We've gone through some of those verses, obviously, last week. But we don't know how to love people if we don't love God. And you will not know how to properly love people that have hurt you if you don't love God first. And you're going to end up very bitter in life if you don't know how to love. Love is a one-way street. Remember that. It's great if somebody loves you back. That's a great thing. But you have a duty and obligation and under obedience to love God regardless of what the consequences are. And you are under a duty and obedience to love others regardless whether they love you back or not. And we're going to talk, that part we're going to talk more about next Sunday. But this morning I'm going to talk about you, God and others can prove whether you love God on what false teachers and preachers say and do. Look at Deuteronomy 13, verse number 1. If there arise, what's the next word? Among you. Now, a lot of times we think about false preachers and false prophets and false teachers. We think about, like, you know, the heathen or the pagan and stuff like that. But God's very specific in the verse we're about to read, among us. If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. Jesus said, an adulterous and wicked generation seeketh after a sign. That's what Jesus said. And if you're looking for a sign or a dream or a vision, you do not love God. All tongues and all visions have ceased in 1 Corinthians 13 when the Word of God was complete. So when you're watching these jokers on television or the television, and you're listening to them on the radio, and they're smacking each other upside the head and saying, be healed, you are not loving God if you believe that kind of trash. You're not. All those things have ceased. All revelation has ceased with the completion of the Word of God. We have the complete Word of God. We can know exactly what God says from the Word of God, not from somebody who says, God spoke to me in a vision. Oh, God, I saw a dream. Oh, God gave me a word of faith. Oh, I have a word of knowledge. Oh, God said this to me. How do you know that? How do you know? How can you check that out? Well, we have the Word of God that tells us not to believe that kind of stuff. Let's keep reading verse number two. And the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods. Somebody among us now, not the heathen and pagans. Let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, like other Bibles instead of King James Bible. You know what built this country? King James Bible. Wasn't the NIV. Wasn't the American Standard Version. Wasn't the New American Standard Version. It was the old King James Bible that built this country. How come we don't have any revivals anymore, Pastor? Well, if you get back to the Word of God, God will give you the power to win souls. God will give you bravery. God will give you a strength. God will give you victory over your sin problem. But you got to get back to the Word of God. But we've gone to other gods, small g, in our society the last 50 to 100 years. And that's why America's fallen the last 50 to 100 years, by the way. We've got new gods now. Verse number three. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. Watch this now. Now, I may have mentioned this verse the last 3 weeks in the series, but this morning I'm honing in on this subject right here on false prophets. Watch this. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. That's why you ought to come to church with the Bible and not take what the preacher's word says and not take what the pastor says or what the minister says or what the reverend says. How do you know what I'm saying is correct if you don't have a Bible in front of you to check it out? Look, I'm glad that you love me. I'm glad you come to church, and thank God I'm your pastor, and I thank you for coming, to be honest with you. It really means a lot to me. But I'm going to tell you something. You will be deceived by some religious leader if you don't have a Bible and the Word of God to check it out and see what God says. Too many people have taken the word of a religious leader and followed a religious leader falsely, unknowingly, ignorantly, to their own doom and destruction. The Catholics. I feel sorry for the Catholics because they're following the Antichrist. One of the most important things you'll ever learn in your life is the Pope is the Antichrist. Once you get that, a lot of your other religion will fall into place, I'm telling you right now. But the blind lead the blind. And they're both going to fall into the... Hey, look, I was following the blind before I got saved. I did not know. Someone showed me what God said. Not what a man said, not what a preacher said, not a reverend said, but what God said in the Bible. And you know what I found out? That every single Catholic priest is a liar. Every single Greek Orthodox priest is a liar. I didn't say a lot of them. I didn't say most of them. I said all of them. Because when you get in a position where you're lying to people and you know what God says, you are a liar. So what do you expect the people to learn from liars? It'll prove whether you love God or not what you do at that point. Because when I found out that my priest was lying to me, I left him. I followed Jesus more than man. And you ought to ask yourself, are you following God or man? Are you following the Word of God or man? Are you following God or a church? Are you following Jesus Christ or a religion or a denomination? You ought to ask yourself, hey, if God tarries and some of us are dead and gone, there's no doubt in my mind that this church will fall by the wayside too and become apostate, and become heretical in its teaching. Hey, you ought to teach your children when the church gets rid of King James Bible, you get rid of that church, amen? When the church gets rid of the birth, the virgin birth of Christ, then you get rid of that church. When a church gets rid of Jesus Christ being God Almighty in the flesh, then you get rid of that church. When a church changes its doctrines and the church changes the word of God, you change your denomination or religion or the membership in that church, because it'll prove whether you love God or not. Hey, don't you read the Bible every day? Aren't you reading it day and night? That's what God says we ought to do. But God proves whether we love him or not by all these false prophets. And a lot of us have been deceived because we've been listening to false prophets. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." God said it would happen. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 16 and 20, "Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them." Well, you ought to listen what they say, read what the Bible says, and look at their lives and look at their fruits. That alone, those two things, the word of God and their fruits, will reveal exactly who they are. When somebody teaches a work salvation, like the Catholic Church does, it's a work salvation. You have to be good enough. You have to do some works to go to heaven. That is not from God, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible makes it very clear. But people who don't read the Bible, they're ignorant. They're following the masses of ignorant sheep that are going off the cliff. My church, my former church, was teaching a work salvation. Mormons, the same thing. Jehovah's Witnesses, the same thing. Seventh-day Adventists, the same thing. It's a work salvation. Why you believe a religious leader is because you don't read what God says. It's important that you read what God says. You don't come to a church because it's a nice church, or it's the closest church, or you like the stained glass window, or it's got a youth program, or has a nice nursery, or it has a nice youth group, or a singles group, or whatever. No. You go to church because of doctrine. You go to church because they have the word of God. You go to church because they're concerned about the salvation of souls. Those are the reasons why you ought to go to a good church. So when a Catholic priest stands up, or a bishop, or a cardinal, or an oriole, or a bluebird, I wouldn't believe them. I wouldn't believe them. The Bible says in Psalm 97, verse 10, "Ye that love the Lord hate evil." And that's not very popular today, but God says, if you love God, you're supposed to hate evil. If you don't hate the sodomite lifestyle, there's something wrong with your love of God. Hear me? You say, well, you're too critical of that, Pastor. You know why I'm too critical right now? Because it's growing and growing and growing. We may not have mentioned it maybe 10, 20 years ago as much, but when you see something coming up on the horizon and you see the danger and the wickedness and the evil of it and you don't say anything, you do not love God, because God says in Psalm 97, "Ye that love the Lord hate evil." Well, you ought to hate when you rob God. Hello? That was a thud. I didn't hear too much on that one. It's okay when we hate the sodomite lifestyle, but are you robbing God? Huh? How about missing church? Hebrews 10:25 is still in the book. It's in the book. "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is." Now it's the manner of most. But you see, if you love God, you'd be in God's house. Right? See, it's easy for us to preach against the pagans and the heathens, but God says, among us. And we act, just because you say, oh, I love God, doesn't mean you love God. Everybody, with them, you're watching too many Hollywood movies and actors and actresses go on a screen to get money for the love of money. And they say, oh, I love you. And they've been divorced 5 or 6 times in their personal life. But you believe that. It's a tearjerker of a movie. You say, oh, I love this movie. I can watch it over and over again. But they're lying to you. They're acting for money. So when you meet some religious person, they say, well, I love Jesus. If you don't have a King James Bible, you don't love Jesus. Hello? If you can't obey the minimal commandments in the Bible, and we went through those last week. Last week, by the way, was, if you don't keep my commandments, how can you love God? By this shall we know that all men love you, if you love one another, if you keep his commandments. We went through those verses last week. So you can say all you want, oh, I love God. When you disobey the clear commandments in the Word of God, how can you love God when you live contrary to the Word of God? You may pass that off on people who don't read their Bibles. You don't go pass it off on people who know their Bible, though. So you go on Facebook. Here's what you do. You get on Facebook all the time. You know how much you love God while you're disobeying one commandment after another. Not tithing, not coming to church, not going soul, not living right, not praying, not reading your Bible. But you get on there and say, oh, I love Jesus because you post something. So our churches in America, I'm talking about Bible-believing churches, are full of people with cold hearts who say they love Jesus, but don't. Psalm 119, verse 47, 48 says, and I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. You see, you love something else more important than the Word of God. It's easy to do. Yeah. And everybody's a little different. Everybody has different likes and dislikes. But what are you spending more of your time doing? What are you thinking about more in your brain, in your mind? What is your heart contemplating during the week, during the day? Well, whatever you're thinking about more is what your mind is on. That's what you love more. Psalm 119, verse 165, the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You know why so many people are so easily offended today, and easily hurt, and easily wounded, and get upset and angry? Read it. Psalm 119, verse 165, because they do not love the Word of God. They're easily offended. God said, yea, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So the reason you get upset and mad and offended is because God says we don't love the Word of God. If somebody says something nasty to you, if somebody tried to destroy your life, God said if you love the Word of God, you won't be offended. So, Pastor, how do I do that? Well, how did Jesus turn the other cheek and then tell us to turn the other cheek? So, Pastor, I don't get mad, I get even. Well, that may sound good in today's world, but that's not in the Bible. That means you don't love God. That means you're not trying to win your enemy to Jesus Christ. That means you're trying to be a macho man or a wicked witch, nasty woman, as Trump says, you know. I could have used the Hillary word, you know, but I don't like using profane words from the pulpit, amen. But here's what we do. We get caught up with the world's thinking and the world's attitude. And then we're easily offended because we don't love the Word of God. We get mad. We pout. Is doctrine important to you? Is the Word of God important to you? If you do not love the Word of God, you cannot love God because you only learn about God from the Word of God. And if you do not love God, you can't love other people. As I said, love is not an emotion. Love is not saying, I love you. Love is not saying, I love you with tenderness or sweetness or even with a smile. Love is obeying God. Love is doing that which is your duty to do, regardless of the outcome or the consequences. Love for a man, for his wife and children, is to go to work on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday or every single day and provide for his family. Love for a wife is to obey her husband and wash the dishes and cook and clean and sew. You do those things first, and then cuddle and hug and kiss and say, oh, I love you. But these people, they get on an emotion, oh, I just love you, and then they're split up 6 months later. That's not love. That's infatuation or that's lust, but it's not love. 2 Timothy 3, the Bible says this, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. We're going to talk about that next week. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. I mean, do you love God enough when you go on vacation, you go to church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night? Do you love God so much that when you go on vacation, you read the Bible every single day? Do you love God so much that even when you're 500 miles away from home, you try to win somebody or witness to somebody about for the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is it only to show up to impress the pastor, maybe? Or is it only to show up to show yourself how religious you are? See, if we love God, we love everybody wherever we go. If we love God, we love lost sinners, whether they're in Troy or wherever else they're at. If we loved God, it wouldn't be a show. Philippians 3:19 says, whose God is their belly. Today we have the most overweight, obese society in the history of the country, in the history of this country and the world. Our God is our belly today. We don't know what the word fast means. We're more concerned about eating and food than we are concerned about spiritual food. Isaiah 1 says, thy princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. These are the leaders. You know, politicians, religious leaders. Listen to me good. I said this last week in the Greek church. I said this. The biggest liars in the world today stand behind pulpits. Mark that down. Remember that for the rest of your life. The biggest liars in the world stand behind pulpits lying to people who don't know any better. That's why God tells you to get a Bible and read it so you know who the liars are, who the deceitful workers are. Because God is proving whether you love God or not. So I'm going to go to church because it's a black church. I'm going to go because it's a white church. I'm going to go because it's a conservative church. I'm going to go because it's a city church. I'm going to go because it's a suburban church. I'm going to go because it's a Greek church. You ought to go to church because it's a Bible-believing church, amen? It's the right kind of church. It has the right doctrine, amen? I remember years ago, we had a layover in Rome one time, and I'm telling you, I was in Rome. We hadn't planned to be there, but on Wednesday night, I said, I want to go to church. Now, you try going in a foreign country, you don't know how to speak Italian at all, and you try to find a church. Guess what? We found a church, and I found the address. We told the guy to take us there. We got to the address, and they were having church, except it wasn't in English. They had about three or four different languages meeting in the same church building, and they rotated their times. But guess what? They sang the same songs that we sang. And the guy got up and started preaching, and whatever, I can't remember the foreign language that it was, Chinese or Korean, I can't remember right now. But I went to church on that Wednesday night, not understanding anything that they were saying, but enjoying it. Because I wanted to love God. I wanted to obey God. I don't care if I'm on vacation. I don't care if I'm sick. Hey, I better be in a hospital if I'm not in church, amen? Now, I know some of us are getting older. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the people who are young enough. You got two good hands, two good feet, two good eyes. Get up. You go to work when you're sick, then go to church when you're sick. You go to work for money that you love? How about coming to God's house for obeying God? I know your picnic is more important than church. I understand. Your birthday bail day is more important than God's house. Your get-together with some special party you have is more important than loving God because you love the favor of people more. You want people to look at you and say, oh, thank you for not going there and spending time with us. I'd rather love God, listen to me good, first before I love people. People come second, God comes first. I'm supposed to obey his commandments first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You're trying to seek everybody else's favor, then try to fit God into your schedule. You're trying to appease other people and trying to do everything everybody else wants. And then if you have time, do what God wants you to do. You spend time. You know what? You spend all these kind of money on Christmas gifts that you're going into debt to buy, that you can't afford, that these people are going to take the same gifts that you're giving 3-6 months later. They're going to sell them at a yard sale, 10 cents on the dollar that you spent to get in debt to impress somebody. Contrary to God. And then we say, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, do you? Do you? Do you love Jesus? Yeah, it's easy to preach against the socialists, isn't it? He said, among you. That's what he said. You see, the deceitful workers in Psalm 55 says, the words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. You've been watching too many of these televangelists that smile real big and say, oh, just send your money, your love gift to this tax-deductible number here, and we'll take credit cards and stuff like that while they're driving those Rolls Royces, you know. Jesus said in Matthew 15, he said, the people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they do worship me. Hey, are you worshiping Jesus Christ in vain? Are you saying the people draweth nigh to me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me? How's your heart this morning? Do you love God? Or are you just playing religious games? Micah 3 says, the heads thereof, the leaders now, the heads thereof judge for reward, and the priests thereof teach for hire, and the prophets thereof divine for money. I like to see you getting no money for what religious work you do, all these charlatans on television and radio, and see if they still do what they're still doing. But man, there's some money in it for them, so that's why they're doing it. The Bible says in Revelation 13, Satan, the false beast, the false prophet, deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast. So the people on this earth are going to be deceived by the miracles that the false prophet is going to do in front of them. Today, we're in a day and age that if I raise people from the dead, literally, people say, oh, the power of God. I wouldn't believe a miracle. I'd rather believe the word of God than a miracle. Because even the devils can do miracles to deceive the people that don't read their Bibles. People are basing their whole religious experience, they can't say they're born again or saved from hell, but they're basing their whole religious experience on a dream or a vision or some tongues or some miracle. Well, the devil can do that and deceive people. You give me what God says, the word of God, I want to believe what God says. Not what man, man's a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar, the Bible says. I want to believe what God says. One of the most important, we don't have time to read it. In 1 Kings chapter 13, you know what? Turn there, 1 Kings 13. We're going to read it. 1 Kings chapter 13. And I'm giving you some Bible verses, but I want you to see this with your own God-given eyeball. 1 Kings chapter 13. We have too many people not reading the Word of God. We have too many people relying on men's words, religious leaders, and the devil's been lying to people and destroying their lives. 1 Kings chapter 13, lucky number 13. I wish I had time to read the whole chapter, but I'm going to pick it up in verse number 11. This is one of the most important verses you'll read concerning this subject about false prophets and false teachers among us. Among us. 1 Kings 13. It proves whether you love God or not. You think because somebody has a big congregation or a big church building, you think because you got a big glass cathedral and a multi-million dollar complex, you think they love God. You say, look at how many people they got. Well, the Pope's got about a billion people. That doesn't mean he loves God. The Muslims got a billion people. That doesn't mean they love God. The size of the crowd doesn't mean that you love God, ladies and gentlemen. 1 Kings chapter 13, pick it up in verse number 11. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. This is a young preacher, young man of God that came, and the word got to the old man of God, the old prophet, the old preacher. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. Verse 12. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. Now, if you read the beginning of the chapter, God said, don't go with any man, don't eat anything. He said, don't salute anybody. You just do what I tell you to do. That's what God told him if you read the first beginning of the chapter. Verse 16, and he said, the man of God said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. He said unto him, the old man now says to the young man of God, I am a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. Underline the next five words in your King James Bible. But he lied unto him. So too many of God's people are being cursed by God because they believed a man, a religious man, who was a pastor, a preacher, a reverend, a minister, a missionary, an evangelist. Instead of God. Because I got news for you. Everybody has the ability to lie. I can come up here and lie this morning. How do you know I'm telling you the truth? If I came up and said, God spoke to me last night. How do you know if that's not true or not? If I told you, God gave me a dream and a vision. He told me to do this for our church. You better run or change preachers as fast as you can. One of the two. I'm telling you right now. You better run, get out of here, get yourself a good Bible-believing church, or change the preacher as soon as possible. This man was an old man who had forsaken the way of God. And he said, I believe what you believe. But he lied to him. And you know what happened to the young man of God who disobeyed God? God killed the young man of God. And too many of God's people are listening to false prophets among them. We'll blast everybody else. We'll blast the Muslims, the Catholics, the pagans, the heathen, the Hindus. We'll blast their Eastern religion. But for some reason, we don't want to look at these other verses that God and Jesus Christ himself spoke about for us to warn us about fake, phony, false religious leaders that would lead us to destruction. Jeremiah 5 says, my people love to have it so. You know why? Because we don't want to hear preachers preaching against our sin. I don't want to go, you know, he's just an old-fashioned, he's too strict, he's too loud, he's too long, he's narrow-minded, he's a bigot, you know, he doesn't love people, he hates people. That's what you hear about, you know. The Bible says my people love to have it so. They don't want a preacher preaching against liquor because people love their liquor. They don't want a preacher preaching against dope and marijuana and heroin and drugs because they love their drugs. People don't want their sinful nature. They want their pleasure. And so they want to pick and choose a preacher or minister who won't preach against their sin. Do you love Jesus this morning? Do you love Jesus this morning? Do you love the Word of God this morning? Jesus said in Matthew 24, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. He goes on and says, verse 11, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Jesus warned us about it. But because we don't read it, we don't believe it. 1 John chapter 4, the Bible says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. We're not supposed to believe every Tom, Dick, and Harry that walks around in a religious garb or carrying a black book and sing some religious songs, and we believe every single word they say. God says, try them. That means put them in the fire and see what they're made out of. Show them what the Bible says. Well, God says this. Yeah, but you know, we're in a new day and age today, and that was in the old times, and it doesn't apply today. But God said this.